Welcome to the Harris and Moore Expedition Through the Bible. I'm David Harris, the gospel preacher at the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville, Texas. And here with my good friend and partner on this program, Tom Moore, the gospel preacher for the Park Heights Congregation of the Church of Christ in Hamilton, Texas. And we are broadcasting to you live tonight from Studio 4 right here at Hillcrest in Stephenville, Texas. We are tonight being heard on the KATX radio 97.7 FM out of Eastland, Texas, KNNK 100.5 FM out of Hereford, Texas, KQNK 1680 AM out of Hydro, Oklahoma. Also, we are on KnowTheTruthRadio.org, our internet radio station. And that is broadcast, I believe, out of Mount Vernon, Texas. Is that correct, Tom? I'm not real sure. Mount Vernon, Mount Pleasant, somewhere up in the northern end of the state of Texas, at any rate.
To Jordan.
Yes. Also, KATX Radio out of Eastland also has an internet a link that you can go to as well. And also, we are being broadcast on the Gospel Radio Network. .org. Now you can hear this being played on TuneIn Radio. If you'll go there, you can get that on your iPhone. You can go to the computer and listen to it there. You can get the FM, AM stations. Many ways to listen to this program, but mainly we want you to listen so that you can participate in it. You have heard what men have had to say. Now let's hear what the Bible has to say. You can go to our webpage at www.harrisandmoore.org. You can follow the instructions there and get on as well. There are many ways to listen to us. There are many ways to enter into the discussion. You can get on the chat box at KnowTheTruthRadio.org, and you can type in questions and comments on the chat box. We will be glad to entertain all of those. But we would prefer, if you would, to pick up the phone and give us a call. The toll-free number from anywhere in the world is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. Spell it out. 1-855-Q as in questions, A as in answers, B-I-B-L-E, Q-A-Bible. And it's a toll-free number. We would like to hear your voice. We would like to hear where you're from. We have several people on the chat box already, one from Glen Allen, Virginia, and we want to welcome our listening audience in Virginia tonight. You can also email questions to us at questions@harrisonmoore.org, questions@harrisonmoore.org. And even if you don't get a response tonight, if you will get those emails to us, if you'll go to questions@harrisonmoore.org, that email will come to my personal email and also Tom's personal email. We will get you a Bible answer for your question.
You know, David, we might also mention that we now have a podcast available.
Yes.
If you'll go to our webpage, down at the bottom right-hand corner, you'll see RSS. Click on there, and you just follow the directions, and you'll have podcasts available where you can listen to us anytime you want to.
Very good, very good. And I forgot about that. Now, we have some additional sponsors for this program. In addition to the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville, Texas, and the Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, Texas, we have the Baines Church of Christ in Baines, Texas, the De Leon Church of Christ in De Leon, Texas, the Patrick Street Church of Christ in Dublin, Texas, the Rising Star Church of Christ in Rising Star, Texas, the Mount Vernon Church of Christ in Mount Vernon, Texas, the Ninth and Main Church of Christ in San Angelo, Texas. And we want to welcome each and every one of you to our program tonight. Feel free to pick up that phone or to get on that chat box at any moment. Anytime you have a question or a comment, we want to welcome that. Tonight we're going to begin by asking a question, and maybe you've never pondered this before, and we're going to get to that in just a moment. We're going to read a passage of Scripture that is going to set the tone for this this broadcast tonight. This broadcast is in relation to what is going on in our society, what is going on in our politics, what is going on in our government, and what is even going on in the church today. And we want to look at some of these things, and we want to ask ourselves some questions and ponder the answers with some Bible answers. And Tom, would you do us the favor of reading the scripture that, which will serve as a text for our lesson tonight?
We're going to be looking at 1 Peter chapter 5. That's 1 Peter chapter 5, beginning in verse 8, where Peter says, "Be sober, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom withstand steadfast in your faith, knowing that the same sufferings are accomplished in your brethren who are in the world. And the God of all grace, who called you into his eternal glory in Christ, after that ye have suffered a little while, shall himself perfect, establish, strengthen you." David and listening audience, did you ever wonder what it would be like to be in someone else's shoes, someone perhaps who had a lot of power? You know, we look at another person's life and think, you know, if I were just there, I could do a better job than they're doing. If I were the manager of, say, this place or that place, or I could make some changes that would be a benefit. And sometimes we do not especially want to change anything. We just want to see if it would, see what it would be like, and to fill their shoes for a short period of time. David, we need to use our imagination tonight a little bit and think about perhaps, what if I were the devil? What would I do?
If I were the devil, what would I do? And we have taken this idea from something that a broadcaster, Paul Harvey, had to say about 15 years ago. He wrote a little article, "If I Were the Devil."
And isn't it amazing how astute he was to what was going to happen to the United States of America?
No doubt about it. No doubt about it. Paul Harvey was one of the good commentaries of our time, and he proposes a very, very deep subject here. What if I were the devil? And what we want to do is use our imagination. We want to put ourselves in the shoes of one who called Jesus the prince of this world. He did that in John chapter 14 and verse 13. And so this broadcast, you're with us here. What we would like to do, we would like to ask the question, if I were the devil, the prince of this world, and I wanted to be successful, what would I do? Now, if I were the devil, first of all, Tom, I would gain control of the most powerful nation in the world, and then I would delude the minds of the people of that nation into thinking that they had come to this point of being that powerful strictly from man's efforts instead of God's blessing.
You know, David, we know that the good old United States of America is the most powerful nation in the world, at least perhaps now. We're kind of wondering about that as of recent days. But still, the resources and the technology and the wealth that we have, we are indeed the most powerful nation in the world. And we certainly have been deluded into thinking that all this power and all this wealth and all this freedom has come from our own efforts. As a matter of fact, David, we have politicians and leaders that actually think that because of their superior leadership, because of their superior lawmaking, we have attained the level of success that we now have. This is a very much a prideful attitude. And is it not the case that we have someone very prominent in politics right now who perhaps is the epitome of pride?
Oh, there's no doubt about it. As much as I hate to admit it, it is the President of our United States of America, Mr. Obama himself. If you will remember, just a couple of weeks ago, he made a statement that will totally outweigh anything in the Constitution. He said, quote, "If I cannot get it passed through Congress, I'll just use an executive order."
And, you know, and he also said that he was doing the work of God.
No doubt. You know, what he said.
We see very much a man full of pride. But, you know, David, this kind of pride is not anything new among the nations of the past.
No, it's not. And we look in the New Testament, we see in Romans chapter 15 and verse 4 that whatsoever things were written aforetime, speaking of these things written back here in the Old Testament, said they were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. And so we look back here and we see the things that have been done before, the things that are put there for our learning so that we do not have to suffer in some of the same ways that people that have gone on before us have suffered.
Exactly.
And in the days of Daniel, there was a king who was a very, very prideful individual, and he took on this prideful attitude, and he was so full of himself that he thought that he had attained the level of success that he attained all by himself. And I'll read you just a little passage in Daniel chapter 4. I would invite everyone to turn there that could, if you're in a, don't do this as you're driving down the highway, you might have a little trouble. But in Daniel chapter 4 and verse 29, we're talking about a king by the name of Nebuchadnezzar. In verse 29, at the end of 12 months, he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. The king spoke and said, "Is not this great Babylon that I have built for the great for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty?" Is that powerful or what?
Exactly. You know, I did it. Mm-hmm. I did it all. Now, remember, tonight, this is a live call-in talk show. The number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. Tonight, we're talking about, if I were the devil, if I were the devil, what would I do to take down the United States of America? And right now, we're talking about, if I were the devil, I would gain control of the most powerful nation in the world. We're talking about Nebuchadnezzar right now. And here's a man who built an enormous empire. And he begins to think about the empire that he built. He says, "Which I have built by the might of my power and for the glory of my majesty." Here's a man who is full of himself. But I find it interesting, David, what happens right away in verse 31.
Well, instantly he was punished. In verse 30, it says, "The king spake and said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the kingdom of by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? And while the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from you, and they shall drive you from men, and your dwelling shall be with the beast of the field, and they shall make you eat grass as oxen, seven times shall pass over you, until you know that the Most High rules in the kingdoms of men and gives it to whomsoever he will." Until you know.
It's amazing that before the words even got out of his mouth, God was already punishing him.
Right.
Because he needed to know that it was God that made these things possible.
Well, he got his attention, didn't he?
He certainly did. And you know, one of the good things we learn about this, David, people can change.
Mm-hmm.
And here we have a situation with Nebuchadnezzar. You'll notice in verses 34 and 35 of that same chapter it says, "And at the end of the days I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes into heaven, and my understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High. And I praise and honored him that liveth forever. For his dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou?"
Right.
That is a big change in this man.
It is. Reason returned to the king. He acknowledged the power of God according to the will of God, and things got immediately better. Now, on our chat box, we've already got somebody reading our notes here. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 18 is being quoted on the chat box by Emmy and Nathan, and it says, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. And this is what happened in the days of Nebuchadnezzar, the most powerful king on the face of this earth. And here we have him being degraded as a beast of the field and losing any kind of pride that he ever had. He understood. He came to himself much like the prodigal son did.
Exactly.
And he changed his way. What we should see from this, Tom, is that we as a nation, from top down, we have tried to eliminate God from our country, from our power, from our thinking, from our thought process, until we have a generation of people who are in places of representation that think that they actually control our destiny in their hands and not God's hand.
You know, we need to remember, David, that our nation was founded upon godly principles.
No doubt.
You know, and so we now have a nation who is going further and further away from God. And, you know, it's not only going away from God, they are demeaning God, and they're demeaning anybody who believes in God and who wants to follow biblical principles. And that's because they are more concerned with their own self, thinking that they have the power to do these things, but we have, as a nation, no power except of God.
No doubt.
God worketh in the kingdom of men. Proverbs 17, verse 19 says, he loveth transgression, he loves transgression that loves strife, and he that exalt his gate seeks destruction.
That's a warning.
Exactly right.
That is a warning.
That comes
from
pride.
Yes, it does. Now, this kind of idea has caused people in places of importance, you might say. Even 10 years ago, right here in the state of Texas, part of what we call the Bible Belt, right here in the state of Texas, a federal judge in Houston, in Harris County, ruled that that a Bible had to be removed from a monument outside the Harris County Civil Courts building, denying an emergency request by the county to allow the display to remain until the appeals were exhausted. And, quote, he says, the fact that the county has violated the plaintiff's rights for years does not mean that the violation should be allowed to continue, says U.S. District Judge Sim Lake. He says, moreover, granting a stay would not serve the public interest. Now, all of this was brought about by a real estate agent, a broker and attorney, a lady by the name of Kay Staley. She sued the county, Harris County, in the wake of a controversy in Alabama surrounding a judge's refusal to remove a monument bearing the Ten Commandments from that state's judicial building. And she argued that the Bible display was offensive, improperly advanced Christianity, and sent, quote, a message to her and to non-Christians that they are not full members of the Houston political community.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's things like that, David, and also what we've seen here recently in Frankenmuth, Michigan, where the atheists were living there and they were complaining about two crosses on a bridge into town, and they were trying to get those taken away. Well, the people stood up and said they weren't going to stand for that, and now they have crosses in all the yards of that city, mm-hmm. making a statement. You know, one of the things that we learn from all this, David, the devil's trying to take religion and God out of our country.
Right.
And we need to stand up and say, the devil, I know what you're trying to do, but it's not going to work here.
Well, if I were the devil and I wanted to gain control of the most powerful nation on the face of the earth, I would do it through the court system, and right here, Tom, that is where I would start.
Exactly, and that's where it's at.
Mm-hmm.
We see it happening. And again, we look back at when Paul Harvey wrote this many years ago, and probably maybe when people first heard that, they said, oh, man, that couldn't happen. But what do we have? Those very things happening, and even perhaps to a greater degree than anybody ever thought.
No doubt.
Tonight we're talking about if I were the devil. Now, remember, this is a live call-in talk show. The number to call, if you'd like to get in on the discussion with a question or a comment, the number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. You can also get involved in the chat box on knowthetruthradio.org. We also have emails that you can email us, the questions@harrisonmoore.org, that will go to David and my email address. We probably won't be looking at those tonight, but if you have a question for us, we'll always be sure that we answer any question that comes our way. David, if I were the devil, I would promote an attitude of loving things and using people instead of the other way around. You know, we live, David, in a very materialistic society.
Oh, there's no doubt about that.
And when you think more about the things of the world and the material things, one's mind goes further and further away from God.
So this is an attitude that we have promoted through generations of raising our children without the knowledge and the understanding of the Word and the will of God. And so we have permeated an attitude that has infiltrated our families. And this attitude is that you love your things and you love them more so than people. Instead of using things and loving people, we are now loving things, and we are using people to our advantage, which is a horrible, horrible, horrible thing to think about. In this country of plenty, Tom, we have an attitude, a horrible, horrible attitude of loving things over and above those that we should love. We love our automobiles. You know, we made fun of the Indians when we first took this country over. We traded things that were shiny and things that were trinkets. We traded that for land. Well, they had a lot of land, so they took the shiny stuff. And now we will give up our soul for something that's shiny, a shiny chrome wheel on an automobile. We love our automobile. We love our jobs. We love our home. We will even take an extra job, and we will work overtime. We will drop our children off at daycare. We'll work on the Lord's Day to maintain all of these possessions instead of loving our family and loving our brethren and loving the church for which Jesus Christ died.
You know, David, I think about how our attitudes have changed over the years. I remember that my dad talking about the Depression days when any toy they had, they made. They made their toys, you know, and they were happy with what they had. And today we have kids and we have adults who have to have the best of everything. The new computer comes out. The first thing they do is buy the new computer. They upgrade to the latest software all the time. They got to have the newest iPhone. They got to have the newest this and the newest this. And they're never satisfied because they're more concerned about the things of this world and the things of God. And when you are more focused on the things of this world, well, you're going to be working more. You're going to be taking on the second job. You're going to be missing worship services because you've got to work extra time to make the payments on that new boat that you didn't really need, and making payments on that upgraded computer that the old one was just fine. We're losing sight of what's really important. And isn't it true, David, that Jesus said in Matthew 6 and verse 33 that we are to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you? I'm afraid that most people, or a lot of people, are seeking first the things of this world and putting God and family on the background.
Well, what do you think overtime is all about? You try to get somebody to work overtime without paying them time and a half. But when you come up here with time and a half, now wait a minute, we have made this thing lucrative now. Mm-hmm. We have made it so lucrative that we do believe that if you will look at this time and a half, we believe that you can sacrifice your family, you can sacrifice your home, you can sacrifice the love for your brethren, you can sacrifice the love for your church. All you got to do is take the time and a half that we're going to pay you for overtime. And oh, by the way, if you'll do it on Sunday, I'll pay you double time.
Exactly.
Now, what did Jesus say in Matthew chapter 16? He says, what is it profited a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Oh, I wouldn't give anything for exchange for my soul. Well, what about time and a half? Well, double time. Well, would you work on time? Oh, yeah, well, that's different.
You know, we're not talking about when a boss says, we need to work some overtime to get this job finished, and mm-hmm, working later mm-hmm. in the day. But we're talking about the mentality of a man who is always looking for extra hours to put in the day, even on a Sunday and Wednesday nights, so they can pay for their toys and have things better in life. We're talking about a mentality. Sometimes we have no choice with working overtime. But there's a big difference and a man choosing to work overtime to gain more money so that he can buy his toys. You know, I saw a bumper sticker one time, David, that I have never forgotten. It said, he with the most toys when he dies wins the game.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I would do if I was the devil, to get people convinced that that were true.
No doubt. And God, of course, we see what you would do if you were the devil. You would put that carrot out there where it would be actually more inviting than and convince you that it is worth more than your soul, which is the most valuable thing that you possess. And so God issues a warning against what the devil might put out there. In 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15, he says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but it is of the world, meaning it is of Satan, and the world passes away, and all of the lust thereof, but he that abides in the Word of God, he abides forever.
Exactly. And so, David, tonight we're talking about if I were the devil.
Right.
The number to call tonight is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. Tonight we've seen that if I were the devil, I would gain control of the most powerful nation in the world. If I were the devil, I would promote an attitude of loving things and using people instead of the other thing around. And we see that happening, David. We live in a very materialistic society. We're never satisfied. You know, David, if you have that's the thing that really gets me, is that people can have wonderful things and the best things, but they're never satisfied. And I'll think of the passage in a moment, but there's a passage that talks about how a man is never satisfied. He's never satisfied. No matter how blessed he is, he's never satisfied. And David may be thinking of it, and he's going to try to turn to it. But we live in that kind of society where we're never satisfied with what we've been blessed with. That is materialism. And so if I were the devil, I would promote an attitude of loving things, of being materialistic. And that's one of the great ways to take people away from God. Again, remember, Jesus says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. If I were the devil. Well, David, it's about time for us to take our break. On the other side of the break, we're going to talk more about if I were the devil. You're listening to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible.
You're clear.
Well, we're still on Internet radio. We'd like to welcome those of you from the listening audience on KnowTheTruthRadio.org, as well as the Gospel Radio Network. We're thankful that we're able to work together as God's people. And that's one of the wonderful things about Christianity, that people can work together. And I'm thankful that we have good working programs like KnowTheTruthRadio.org and the Gospel Radio Network, who can work side by side and who can propagate the gospel, because that's what we're interested in. Friends, we're not involved in any kind of competition. We're here to spread the gospel. And I'm thankful for the opportunity that David and I have on these two programs, on these two internet radio networks. Now, we want to remind you that this is a live call-in talk show. The number to call, if you'd like to get involved in the discussion with a question or comment, the number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. We'd also like to remind you that now we have available a podcast that you can go. You can go to the harrisonmoore.org website. Down at the bottom right-hand corner, you'll see the RSS feed. Click there, and it'll give you directions on how to get involved in the type of podcast that you would like to have. I've had a lot of people who say, well, I just can't get to the radio or the internet at that time, but I would love to listen to you. One of those is my son-in-law. Now you have no excuse, son-in-law, not to listen to the Harrison Moore Expedition through the Bible. We also want to remind you of our additional sponsors, the Bangs Church of Christ in Bangs, Texas, the De Leon Church of Christ in De Leon, Texas, the Patrick Street Church of Christ in Dublin, Texas, the Rising Star Church of Christ in Rising Star, Texas, the Mount Vernon Church of Christ, and the Ninth and Main Church of Christ in San Angelo. All of these are helping us with regard to our radio programming.
All right, stand by. 3, 2, 1.
Sorry for the cough. But we want to also remind you that this is
we're back on the
air. Oh, we're back on the air.
We're back on the air.
Okay. Well, welcome back to the Harrison Moore Expedition of the Bible. I guess we got back on the air as I was coughing. I apologize for that. But welcome back to the Harrison Moore Expedition of the Bible. My name is Tom Moore, the gospel preacher for the Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, Texas. With me, my good friend and partner on this program, David Harris, who preaches for the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville. And we are delighted to have you in our listening audience this evening. We want to remind you that we're airing on KATX 97.7 out of Eastland, KNNK 100.5 FM out of Hereford, KQMK 1680 AM out of Hydro, Oklahoma, on the KnowTheTruthRadio.org, and the Gospel Radio Network. We're thankful that you're with us tonight, and we want to remind you again, this is a live call-in program. 1-855-QA-BIBLE. What if I were the devil? What would I do to try to bring down this nation? What would I do to try to bring down the souls of mankind? Well, the first thing that we would do, that I would do if I were the devil, I would gain control of the most powerful nation in the world. And my friends, that is the United States of America. And by looking at the way things are going, he is in control, and we had better look out. Secondly, we've already noted, if I were the devil, I would promote an attitude of loving things, an attitude of materialism. But David, what else would you do?
Well, if I were the devil, I would convince people that character is not an issue when it comes to leadership. And boy, I'm telling you, if history serves us right, the last several presidents here, we have had a terrible, terrible character issue with the leadership in this country, not just the President of the United States, but people that are in the Senate, people that are in the House, even all the way down to local levels. People say, well, it really doesn't matter how a man lives or how a woman lives or what they do in their private life. What really matters is if they have a business sense on their head, or they know what they're doing, or they can lead people. And that is just not true. But evidently, the devil has convinced the United States of America that character is no issue. If character had been an issue, President Clinton would have never seen the light of the second term.
Exactly. And the same way with Mr. Obama.
No doubt.
Now, I find it interesting, David. Here, the devil's trying to convince people that character is not an issue when it comes to leadership. But there is a passage, David, in Exodus chapter 18 in verse 21, where God tells us what is the issue.
Mm-hmm.
In Exodus 18 and verse 21, it says, "Moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating unjust gain, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of 50, and rulers of 10." That, David, is what God says, but the devil is trying to convince men that it doesn't really matter if you're honest or good. Those things aren't really important.
Well, we have ample warnings by God. God evidently knew that the devil would pick this avenue in which to deceive people. And in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1, the Holy Spirit through Peter says, "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you who shall privily bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them, that bought them, and bring up on themselves swift destruction, and many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of, and through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingers not, and their damnation slumbers not." Now that is pointed at the leadership of the church, and that is even happening in the church of our Lord today.
You know, that word, making merchandise of you, is translated by some translations and can literally mean exploit you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are people who are being exploited in the church, and there are people who are being exploited in our nation. They're being taken advantage of by our leaders. And, David, is it not the case that when our government gives out so many freebies to people and they don't have to work for it, are they not being exploited by our government?
No doubt. And you talk about electing people of character. Here in the state of Texas, we have two people running for the governor of the state of Texas. One is promoting abortion and the murder of children in the womb up until 20 weeks after conception. They are promoting that and saying this is a choice. It is a choice that a mother can make to kill that child. And you tell me, Tom, what kind of character would you be putting in place that is amenable to murdering children and hiding behind the law to do it?
You know, and it's that same candidate who has already lied several times already.
Well, lying and murdering, they kind of go hand in hand, you know. You can't hardly have one without the other.
And that's why Solomon said in Proverbs 22 and verse 1, "A good name is rather to be chosen than riches."
Well, a good name will follow the character of the individual. He'll be the one that you can trust because that individual's word is his bond. If you look at the untrustworthy candidates that we have running for office, the untrustworthy elected officials that are in office, most of them would rather tell you a lie than tell you the truth, even if the truth was better.
If you like your policy, your insurance,
You can keep it.
My friends, that's exactly what we're talking about. Politics in this country, they often elect people based upon what they think that they can get and what's been promised to them, rather than on character, the character that defines the man. Righteousness exalteth a nation. And so we've got to understand that it is not what we get, but it is the character of the person that's going to be important. If I were the devil, I would convince people that character is not important when it comes to leadership.
Well, Tom, then if I were the devil, then I would make it legal. I would make a law that would say that you can kill the unborn baby in the womb and not even feel guilty about it. And then I would make it socially acceptable to take one own life and even make a machine that would make it convenient for everybody that was involved in it.
David, in this country, we have seen that actually taking place. You know, since 1973, when Roe versus Wade was passed, we have seen the murder of innocent babies, and this abortion has been encouraged by the counselors of the National Order. We have things like Planned Parenthood, which is really planned murder, is what it ought to be called, because that is the major focus of Planned Parenthood. We even live in a society now, David, where our government is forcing companies to have insurances that's going to provide for abortion and things of that nature. That's how far we've gone. If I were the devil, I would make it legal to kill unborn babies, and I would force small companies to provide insurance to kill babies in the womb.
And then I would hire counselors with taxpayers' money to counsel women that abortion, and by the way, that word abortion, I'm against using it. The murder of babies, let's put it like it is, that the murder of babies is just another form of birth control. It is a choice. But we have technology today, Tom, that show us pictures of babies that are in the womb that reflect a totally different view and the reality of that choice that they are making. This is a human being that God recognizes in the womb. But if I were the devil, or if I could just convince men and women to kill those babies in the womb, oh, I would have them. I would have them.
David, it's not only that, but there's also the murdering of the elderly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we see this, David, with euthanasia. We see it now with various of the laws being passed with regard to health care. You get to a certain age, there's not going to be any hope for you of getting certain kinds of health care. Or if you have a certain disease, there's not going to be any hope for you. You know, the passage in Psalm 71 in verse 9 says, "Cast me not off in the time of my age, forget me not when my strength fails." Now, that's the psalmist crying for that day, but that day seems to be fading away from the United States of America.
No doubt about it. And in Proverbs chapter 6, verse 17, 18, and 19, among the things that the Lord hates is hands that shed innocent blood and a heart that devises wicked imagination.
Now, David, tonight we're talking about If I Were the Devil. Now, remember, this is a live call-in talk show. The number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. Tonight we've noticed, if I were the devil, I would gain control of the most powerful nation in the world. And we know that's the United States of America. If I were the devil, I would promote an attitude of loving things more than people, more than God. That's materialism. We know that's taking place today. If I were the devil, I would convince people that character is not the issue when it comes to leadership, both in the church and also in the political realm. And if I were the devil, I would make it legal to kill unborn babies, and I would make it legal to euthanize the elderly. But you know something, David? We can combat the devil. As Christians, we need and must uphold the Word, and we must contend for the faith that is once for all delivered unto the saints. Jude, verse 3.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's very true. And, Tom, there are many, many other things that we could talk about tonight, and maybe we will pick them up next week about things that if I were the devil, what would I do in this country? But as we have seen so far, if I were the devil, basically, Tom, if I were the devil and I looked over the things that have taken place in this country over the last 20 years, 30 years, you know what I think I would do? I would just leave things pretty much the way that they are. You see, the problem that we are facing today is nothing new. Everything that is precious to the Lord is hated by the prince of this world. You mentioned just a moment ago, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. A reproach is a disgrace. It is an honor, a dishonor, and that is what's taking place in here. Next, as we look at our country just falling away because we are morally bankrupt. We have turned our back on God. But if we would just go back to what the Bible has written for us, we go back in history where the kings of Israel ruled over God's people and God's people in the land, and they lived, they became much like this United States of America, which we have seen this evening. And all of this came about because the leadership of the country rejected God. They walked in the ways of the prince of this world when they should have been looking to God and his word for guidance. Mm-hmm. We look there at 2 Kings chapter 17. What are we told there?
We're told how God's people had completely ignored the pleas of God. You look through that context, David. He pleaded with them, but they became vain. They followed after their own ways, and they worshiped God after their own ways. They even went so far as to kill their own children. Sounds a little bit like the murdering of the children that takes place today, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it does.
And then in verse 18 it says, therefore Jehovah was very angry with Israel, and David, I'm afraid he's angry with us today, and removed them out of his sight. There was none left but the tribe of Judah alone. David, if we're not careful and we keep listening to the devil, we're going to be taken out of the way just like the Israel of old.
Well, in those days, the devil was at work just as he is now, convincing this nation, as he was that nation, one soul at a time, that God's word means absolutely nothing. Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6, the Holy Spirit through Hosea says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And that is the problem here in this United States of America today.
Exactly. You know, and you notice in Luke chapter 8 and verse 12, in the parable of the sower, we are told that the devil came and took away the word of God out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. That is what the devil is trying to do, and that, David, is what we must strive to stop, and that is what we can do to stop this. Again, as was mentioned a moment ago, we as Christians then must uphold the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
We need to contend earnestly for the faith that is once for all delivered unto the saints. Jude in verse 3, we can combat the devil. You know, sometimes we have lessons like this, David, and it seems so hopeless, but there is hope. We can stand up, and we can contend for the faith.
No doubt. And this faith that he's talking about is the way of which Jesus speaks in John chapter 14 and verse 6, where he told his own disciples, he said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life, and no man comes unto the Father but by me. We need to understand, as a nation, we do not all have the privilege of prayer. We do not all get to go to heaven. There's only one way to heaven and only one way to the Father, and it is through the way of Jesus our Christ. And we must stand in this way as Christians. We must contend for this way that he has given to us. For we are told in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, this way is the power of God unto salvation.
Stand in his way, contend for his way.
No doubt.
You know, David, if we are not a Christian, we are then refusing the guidance Christ has given. And if you remain neutral, you're also refusing the guidance of the Lord, and you then are on the devil's side.
If a person decides, well, you know, I'm just going to remain neutral, they have made a choice. The choice that they made is to be, as you say, on the devil's side. To do nothing is to be right where he wants you to be. If I were the devil, I would leave things just like that. But, you know, there are a lot of people that will even try to do a little bit better than remain neutral. They want to straddle the fence, Tom. They want to keep one foot in the world with the prince of the power of the air, or the prince of this world, and they want to keep another foot over here close to Jesus. And they want to straddle that fence, but what people need to understand is the devil owns the fence. You straddle it, he still got you.
Exactly right. And did not Jesus say, he that is not with me is against me?
No doubt.
There is no compromise. There is no being neutral. You're either on God's side or you're on the devil's side. And if I were the devil and you were compromising and you were staying neutral, I would tell you, do not change a thing. Everything is just right.
How many times have you heard people in the denominational world say, well, you believe it the way you want to, and I'll believe it the way I want to. You're okay. I'm okay. We're all going to heaven. That is the devil's work. There is no way that I can get to heaven. It is the way that Jesus said for me to get to heaven. And we've got to know that. The Lord demands a change. A commitment.
So long as you're happy, it doesn't matter, does it? Well, you know, David, if we're not a New Testament Christian, we know that we're going to have to believe in the Lord, John 3 and verse 16, and confess his name, Romans 10 verses 9 and 10, and repent of our sins, Luke 13 and verse 3, and be baptized for the remission of our sins, Acts 2 and verse 38, and we're going to have to remain faithful. David, this takes place, does it not, one soul at a time? Just like the devil's trying to get to one soul at a time. One soul at a time is what it takes to combat him.
Well, and this is where we get back to where the devil is in religion in this United States of America in particular, because there are a lot of religions out there that say you can go to heaven and not be in Christ. But in Christ Jesus is where we find life. In Christ Jesus is where we find salvation. In Christ Jesus, you are going to be safe in your will and in your ways, because you're going to turn your will over to his will.
Exactly.
You're in Christ Jesus.
You know, a very interesting study, David, that we might think about doing sometime is to study all the passages that talks about being in Christ.
No doubt.
Or in him.
Right.
There are many blessings, but David, if we're not in Christ, we're in the devil.
Right.
Those are the only two options that we have. And if we are in the devil, then we're going to be filled with despair and have disappointment and eventually eternal death.
Mm-hmm.
But what about if we're falling away, David? Are we not also, even though a person may claim to be a New Testament Christian, if they're falling away, are they not of the devil? Or wouldn't the devil say, I wouldn't change a thing.
Don't change a thing.
Just stay the way you are. As long as you're happy and you have what you want, just stay the way you are.
Another one of those false doctrines says you cannot fall from the favor of God. You cannot fall from the grace of God. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches is if you have transgressed the law of God, then you need to repent and confess fault and be restored back to the work and the service of our Lord. The devil says you can't fall from grace. Don't you worry about it. Once you're in the grace, you can't fall from that grace. Now, this is something that men have said. But let's just read what the Bible has to say, and let's do what Jesus has to say. Jesus said, "If you shall die in your sins, for if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins." He says, repent, confess, be baptized into the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and if you will do that, you will be in Christ Jesus, and that's where we need to be.
Exactly. But if a person has fallen away, again, the devil says, I would tell you to do nothing. But Jesus says, when you've sinned as a Christian, you need to repent. You need to confess. You know, David, we have a perfect example of this in Acts chapter 8 with Simon the sorcerer.
Right.
He became a New Testament Christian. He sinned in trying to purchase the gift of God. And Peter says that you're going to die in your sins. And he and Simon was asking for forgiveness, and he told him to repent of thy wickedness and pray that God would forgive. You know, and that's what Jesus says to do. The devil says, don't worry about it. Don't do anything.
Okay, so we have covered some of the things that if we were the devil, we would do. And what we have learned is these things have already been done. And if I were the devil, then I would leave things certainly just kind of the way they are. We didn't even touch the hem of the garment. We've got so much more to put on this particular subject. We're probably going to have to come back and do it next week. But here's what we want to leave you with tonight. In the midst of everything that is wrong in our nation and in this world, Christ offers life. And he offers life through a plan of redemption. He will redeem our soul if we will just adhere to the terms of entrance into the kingdom. Those terms are given in Acts chapter 2, verse 38. They are given in Colossians chapter 2, verse 12. They're given in Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 and following. They are given on several different occasions and several different places as to what a person must do to become a Christian. Repent. Confess, believe with all your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Repent, confess, and be baptized into Jesus Christ for the remission of our sins. These are the terms of entrance into the saved, into the kingdom, into the church, and Christ offers life right there. In the midst of everything that is wrong, we can still have eternal life and be blessed forever.
You know, through this plan, David, and through what the Bible says, if I were the devil, I would then be conquered.
Absolutely.
I would be destroyed. And freedom would be yours. Remember, in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, that we have been given all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that's called us to glory and virtue.
Mm-hmm.
You know, David, there has been so many good things said on the chat box tonight that we really didn't even have a chance to get to. Had some good conversation, and we invite you to check out the chat box after the program and listen to the podcast that will soon come. And I think David and I both agree that we have to tell you more about what the devil would do next week. We've seen tonight that the devil is going to try to gain control. If I were the devil, I would gain control of the most powerful nation in the world. And I would promote an attitude of materialism. If I were the devil, I would convince people that character is not important. And if I were the devil, I would kill unborn babies and kill the elderly. If I were the devil, I'd pretty much leave everything the way they're going right now. But that's not the way it has to be.
No, it's not. And there is life and there is hope in Christ Jesus. We want to thank all of our listeners. We want to thank those who participate in the chat box. We want to hear you and hear from you. Send us an email. Talk to us. Give us a call. We'd love to visit with you. We're going to have to sign off. God bless America. And God bless you as you study your Bibles. Tom, you've got the last word.
You've been listening to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible.